So let's get the facts straight. We have a child who's the Son of God. We have a virgin mother who gave birth. And we have a stepfather who was told in a dream that everything was going to be okay. Does that sound like your family? Certainly wasn't the Haugens on Ackerman Street in Waterloo. The Feast of the Holy Family has got to have a curious background. It really is only about 100 years old. It didn't come to the calendar until about 1921, which is very interesting. So what was going on about that time? Well, at the end of the 19th century, there were changes, a lot of changes that were happening socially and maybe in the way of family life. And I'm not sure if the changes were as different is that maybe people were just more aware of the fact that sometimes family life is a lot more challenging than they thought. Also at that point in time, the government was getting more involved with the legality of marriage, and so the church kind of felt like it needed to reestablish how important their role was in this. And so we have the Feast of the Holy Family. Well, even though, as we all know, families can look very different for a variety of reasons, there are some fundamental things that are really important for us to reflect upon and to rejoice in as we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. And the first one is this. You and I are familial people. We are wired for relationship. It's just the way we are. We take a look at that and we realize that both our psyche, our being a human being, our spirituality is really about togetherness. It's about us as a community. We talk about that as we have over and over and over again in pastorate here about being in relationship with each other. Now, don't confuse that with being in proximity, okay? Just because people live in the same house doesn't mean they're in relationship. They can be killing each other sometimes. But in the best of situations, they are in relationship. That's because they're familial. Secondly, family really does inevitably change. In fact, no family is really ever what it was. I think about my own. So when we were growing up, mom's parents had died before mom and dad were married, but grandpa and grandma Haugen only lived about 4 blocks from us. We went there all the time, saw the cousins. We didn't ever think about doing anything else on Sunday but going to grandpa and grandma's house. And I remember after grandpa died, he was the first one. One of my uncles said, well, suppose after Marie's gone, that'll be the last time this family gets together. And I was kind of mad at him. I wanted to kick him in the shins. But after grandma died, it changed. It changed. And our family really did its darndest to try to keep those social gatherings together. And now dad, dying 4 years ago, this time of year, I can see those changes happening again. And so families kind of naturally change for a lot of reasons. Sometimes it's loss, sometimes it's disease, sometimes it's divorce, sometimes your kids do things that you're not really happy about. All kinds of things change how a family looks. I even think that in some ways the last 10 months have kind of clarified some things about family. Family is somebody who stands by you, who supports you, who's always there for you. And that's why sometimes we say, well, you're just like family. Because sometimes it goes beyond blood. There are people who are closer to us than our own blood relatives are. Or sometimes we say of someone, well, you know, that was the only family she ever knew. So it goes beyond what the structure is. Not so much about the structure all the time. It is really about the relationship, I think. One of the other things that I think it's important to realize, and it's maybe harder when you're younger than it is when you're older, let's not confuse perfect families with real families, because there ain't no such thing as a perfect family. I remember when I went away to college, and when we were growing up, we had issues as a family. We had things that we needed to deal with, and so I thought, oh, I can't wait to go to college, and I went to college, and you get a roommate. And you think, oh my God, you get to know their family. You think, I was pretty lucky. My family was really pretty good, you know. And you compare yourselves to other families, and then you started to look forward to going home because you felt you were in better shape than a lot of people were. I think part of that is there's also a difference between being related and being in relationship. Being related and being in relationship. One of the things that may be a stumbling block for us sometimes as we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family is to think that holy means that you don't have any problems. Not true. Not true. One of the things that I've seen over and over again in my priesthood is I look at families who've really had some real challenges from within and from without. And the way they draw together, the way they don't fall apart, the way they support each other, that's holiness. Now, they wouldn't describe it that way. You know, I could say to them, boy, you really have a holy family. And they go, are you kidding? Have you seen us before? But it's really how people stay together. The KCs have a program that talks about the family as the domestic church. That's really true, the domestic church. So a holy family is not a perfect family. The holy family is a real family who looks things square in the eye and does the best job they can with what they've been given. It's not all about being related. It's not being free from strife, but it's being who we're called to be as a family. So what do we learn then from the Feast of the Holy Family if we realize that family looks a lot of different ways? Well, I think there's some fundamental things that are really important. First one is this. We spent the whole Advent season talking about the Word made flesh, the incarnation, okay? So what does that mean? Do you really stop to think about the fact that our God became one of us? Just like us in everything but sin. Just like us. And what that means is that there isn't anything that we experience as human beings that God can't transform, that God can't understand, that God can't be a part of. Nothing in our lives, no matter how screwed up things get, there isn't anything that God can't be a part of and cannot transform. All of the experiences of our life are opportunities for the divine, no matter how sad they are at times. Physically, mentally, spiritually, it's really important. Word made flesh. The other thing that I think about as we listen to this gospel today, you know, it said that he grew up in age, he grew up strong in wisdom and in obedience to his parents. Have you ever thought about the fact that really from Jesus' birth till the time he started his public ministry, we don't really know much. It's his hidden life. So after the presentation in the temple, this is a little quiz. When's the next time we hear something about Jesus? Do you remember? In the temple. Yeah, when they found him in the temple. And so he was almost like a teenager then, huh? So we don't really know about that. So what does that tell us? The second thing is that Jesus grew up in the same context as you and I, of a family. And I'm not saying that Jesus was a brat as a teenager, but he was a human being. And so I went through the same kinds of things that we go when we go through. You know, I always have this little image in my mind about Jesus and Benjamin out in the backyard playing in the sand pile, and they get into an argument, and Jesus looks around and goes, and Mary comes out of the house and says, Jesus, have you seen Benjamin? He goes, I mean, that just doesn't happen. That's not the kind of kid Jesus was. We don't know a lot, but we know that he went through, he was born and grew up the same way that you and I do. The third thing that I thought about as I was putting this together this weekend is this, is the common thread between all families is this idea about relationship. And relationship comes from, as we hear in the scripture, that he was obedient to them. And that doesn't mean do as I say. Obedience is about, comes from a Latin word which means to listen. He really listened to his parents. And if you know anything about the Jewish culture, one of the things, many times, is that the children learned the faith on their mother's lap. That's when he was first introduced to the concept of God and what prayer meant. And so he did that by listening, those people listening. There's a lot of attacks on family nowadays, and I think that we need to remind ourselves and console ourselves that real families can exist. Real families can still be strong. And it's not about perfection, huh? But it's about making sure that we are the kind of people we need to be with each other. That's where our faith comes in. That's why we need a family of faith to support us. That's why the church uses that word, our church family. Because it's people who don't just show up, but it's people who are committed to each other. Huh? It's hard work. Being a family is hard work. It's a challenge at times. And I can only empathize with parents who go through all kinds of things, turning themselves inside out with all kinds of the challenges that they have in their family. But that is what it is. It's about growing in holiness. It's about being in a right relationship with each other. I think it was, wasn't it Robert Frost who said, home is the place where when you have to come back, they have to take you in. You know, it's your people. The door is always open no matter what. The church certainly is called to be that way, and that models what our families are called to be. That's why I think the manger is our model. The manger is our model. Think back to the account of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. They were in a different country. They didn't have extended family to help them out. It didn't say that Joseph didn't have any money. It said that nobody would let him in. There was just no room. And so they were in a pretty degrading situation. I imagine that stable was not near as nice as some of the barns we have around here. And yet Pope Francis said in his Christmas Eve homily in Rome that even though Jesus was born into immense poverty, they were rich in love. They were rich in love. And that's the thing that's so touching to me as I see families. They can have all kinds of stuff happening and craziness and chaos, but they love each other. They love each other. As far as I know, that's not an easy thing. I tell couples many times at weddings, if you've been married more than 5 minutes, you know that loving each other is a challenge. But it's how we are in our relationship with each other. I think as we celebrate this Feast of the Holy Family, then, we think about the fact that we have a lot in common with Jesus. No, not because of the parent situation. I mean, none of our mothers were like Mary. We certainly aren't children. We're not the Son of God. And the fathers, I don't think a lot of them have had a lot of dreams that said, don't worry, it's going to be okay. That's not the point. That's not what we have in common. We have a love and a faith that binds us together. It's about being in relationship, not just living in the same barn, but being in relationship with each other. So as we continue to go forth and go into this new year, we ask Christ for the grace and the sometimes the patience and the courage to be the kind of families that God's called us to be, that we continue to grow in age, grace, and wisdom, just like Jesus.